Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nittai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaura Haribo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. Text number 8. Aho Sanata Bhavatasmayat Vayam. Aho Sanata Bhavatasmayat Vayam. Traivistapanam apidura darshanam. Traivistapanam apidura darshanam. Prema smita snigda nirikshanananam. Prema smita snigda nirikshanananam. Pashema rupam tarvas tava sarva saubhagam. Pashema rupam tava sarva saubhagam. Aho sanata bhavatasma yadvayam. Traivistapanam apidura darshanam. Premasmita snigda nirikshanananam. Pashema rupam tava sarva saubhagam. Matajis. Aho, oh, it is our good luck. Sanatah, to be under the protection of the Master. Bhavata, by your good self. Sma, as we have become. Yatvayam, as we are. Traivistapanam, of the demigods. Api, also. दूरदर्शनम वेरी रेयरली सीन, प्रेम स्मिता स्माइलिंग विद लव, स्निग्ध अफेक्शनेट, निरीक्षणाननम फेस लुकिंग इन दैट मोड, पश्येम लेट अस लुक, रूपम ब्यूटी, तव योर, सर्व ऑल, सौभगम ऑस्पिशियसनेस. ट्रांसलेशन, ओ इट इज आवर गुड लक दैट वी हैव कम अगेन टूडे अंडर योर प्रोटेक्शन बाय योर प्रेजेंस, फॉर योर लॉर्डशिप रेयरली विजिट्स इवन द डेनिजन्स ऑफ हेवन. नाउ इट इज पॉसिबल फॉर अस टू लुक इन टू योर स्माइलिंग फेस विच इज फुल ऑफ अफेक्शनेट ग्लांसेस. वी कैन नाउ सी योर ट्रांसेंडेंटल फॉर्म फुल ऑफ ऑल ऑस्पिशियसनेस. परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. द लॉर्ड इन हिज इटर्नल पर्सनल फॉर्म कैन बी सीन ओनली बाय द प्योर डिवोटीज. द लॉर्ड इज नेवर इम्पर्सनल बट He is the supreme absolute personality of Godhead, possible to be visited by devotional service face to face, which is impossible to be done even by the denizens of higher planets. When Brahmaji and other demigods want to consult Lord Vishnu, the plenary portion of Lord Krishna, they have to wait on the shore of the ocean of milk where Lord Vishnu is lying on white land, Shvetadvipa. This ocean of milk and the Shvetadvipa planet are the replicas of Vaikuntha Loka within the universe. Neither Brahmaji nor the demigods like Indra can enter into the island of Shvetadvipa, but they can stand on the shore of the ocean of milk and transmit their message to Lord Vishnu, known as Shiradakshayi Vishnu. Therefore, the Lord is rarely seen by them, but the inhabitants of Dwaraka, because of their being pure devotees, without any tinge of material contamination, of fruitive activities, and empiric philosophical speculation, can see him face to face by the grace of the Lord. This is the original state of the living entities and can be attained by reviving our natural constitutional state of life, which is discovered by devotional service only. ओम ज्ञान्ति मिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुतः पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपम् साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथां वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च. हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबंधो जगत्पते, गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी, वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च, पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा. Like to welcome all of you all to the Bhagavatam class today. Today we are discussing the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very auspicious story of Krishna entering into Dwarka. And it's so beautiful to see the description of the Dwarkavasis in seeing Krishna enter back into their abodes. Usually, familiarity is something that is very common in a living entity. Like, typically, if you stay very close to some holy place, the possibility of you visiting that holy place is very less. Or, like, to have a more mundane example, you know, if somebody stays in Goa, the possibility of they going to the beach is hardly there, you know. I lived more than 20 years in Goa, but I don't remember how many times I went to the beaches. So, when you are very, very close to something that is fascinating, it loses its fascination for you because you become too familiar with it. But for somebody who's done lot of tapasya, you know, to get that, they are more fascinated by it. I just returned back from Chardham, and the amount of tapasya it takes to go there is incredible amount of tapasya. Now, somebody might wonder, why does one do so much tapasya to get there, you know? It is said, the simple thing is that when you get something very easily, you don't value it much. Like, suppose you buy a diamond necklace, like 10 lakh rupees. How much hard work goes in to buy that one necklace? Naturally, you will value it so much. Keep it in the bank locker and keep it really well preserved and all that. But the same diamond necklace you find it on the road, you know, fallen on the street somewhere. What is the first reaction that will be in a person's mind if you find a diamond necklace on the street? The first reaction is, it's false. Probably it's just a piece of stone. So that means something that is very costly, but if you get it very cheaply, you don't value it that much. The same thing with, you know, going to these holy places. So much tapasya involved. And when you finally do so much effort and finally get that one darshan, you will value it much, much more. Of course, those who are living over there only, you know, in those streets of, you know, different holy places, I don't even know how many times they will actually go and have darshan, you know. Probably most of the time, probably once in a year or once in a few years, they might go to have darshan. Because they are so absorbed in everything else. The value of something is only known when you don't have it. But in my little experience of having darshan of, you know, different holy places, I've realized one thing. It's not only the effort that it takes in to have that darshan, but there is a lot of filtration that you need to do to be able to focus. I'll tell you, the amount of energy that goes in to have that 1 second of darshan, usually 90% of the people who have that 1 second of darshan, they are actually not there at that point. And if you go to any of the holy places in India now, you know, so much crowd, so many people around, so much of chaos, so much of discomfort. Usually, when you are standing right in front of the deities, when you are having darshan of the deities, right in front of the deities, you are most highly distracted at that point in time. Because the chaos is even more. And here, when you look at the Dwarkavasis looking at Krishna, I'm just trying to connect that with my experience of what I just came back from, you know. Standing in front of Badrinath, you know, is not a joke. It's almost like a war to get in front of the deities. That's true for almost all holy places today, right? It's almost a war on an external front. So many people, so many systems, so much chaos. It's a total mess. Your bus doesn't go up. You get stuck in between. And
after wading all that mess, when you come in front of the deities, you get that 1 or 2 seconds. How much can we be absorbed in those few seconds when we're standing in front of the deities? That's the whole game, basically. That's the whole process of darshan. Here, if you look at the description of the Dwarkavasis, when they're describing seeing the beauty of Krishna, what I am really looking at when I'm looking at the description of the Dwarkavasis looking at Krishna's beauty is how they have managed to filter out all that chaos around them and absorb in the holy darshan of the Lord. And not just absorb in the holy darshan, but absorb with gratitude. It may even be possible that we are standing in front of the deities. And it may even be possible that we are standing in front of the deities for a substantial amount of time. But what is the consciousness with which we are standing? Are we grateful for this few moments of darshan? Technically, the same darshan that is there in these Chardham, Badrinath and all that is there in Radha Gopinath here. You know? But unfortunately, because Radha Gopinath is standing here forever, you know, he's just standing here and smiling at all of us, we take this darshan for so much for granted, isn't it? And just not absorbed in that right mood. So, from the point of view of having darshan of Krishna, meeting Krishna, actually that's not the most important thing. There are many people who meet Krishna, who have darshan of Krishna. But the most important thing is, what is the consciousness with which we have the darshan? That's what really needs preparation. Like Parikshit Maharaj, in his life, he met Krishna 2 times. And chronologically, if you see, Parikshit never really met Krishna. But actually, if you see in his personal life, he met Krishna 2 times. And both the times he was closest to death. One was when he was in the womb of his mother. And second was when that Takshak snake bird came. Both the times Parikshit had darshan of Krishna. And this darshan of Krishna is very different. Actually, this darshan of Krishna that Parikshit had is glorified more than the darshan of Krishna that most people had in this world. So Krishna lived in this world for more than 125 years. And in those so many years of Krishna's life, how many people would have had darshan of Krishna? Millions of people. But how many people are glorified for having darshan of Krishna? Of the many people, Parikshit stands out. Because he had darshan of Krishna 2 times in his life. But for having darshan of Krishna those 2 times, he prepared his consciousness quite a lot. And because he prepared his consciousness so much, those 2 times gets noted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we had darshan of Krishna, I don't know how many times. But how many times is our darshan of Krishna noted in any scripture? You know? Nobody cares. Because our consciousness with which we have darshan is not noteworthy, basically. So, Krishna manifests in different devotees' lives in different ways. Sometimes Krishna manifests in the form of tapasya. Dhruva Maharaj's life, Krishna manifested as tapasya. Ambarish Maharaj's life, Krishna manifested as tolerance. Parikshit Maharaj's life, Krishna manifested as death. Narad Muni's life, Krishna manifested as the entire creation. Everywhere Narad Muni was traveling when he lost his mother and his whole stability, he started traveling around the world. And interestingly, one of the thoughts that is put in that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is, if you travel around the world, you actually have greater experience of Krishna. So Narada's experience of Krishna was by traveling. Everywhere he was able to see Krishna manifest. So for us, meeting Krishna will always be in our own unique way. Each one of us will meet Krishna and have darshan of Krishna in our own unique ways according to the consciousness with which we live and according to the mood with which we practice our spiritual lives. And for Krishna, every meeting with his devotee is exciting. Because every meeting with his devotee is under a unique circumstance. And as I said, Just because you are seeing Krishna doesn't mean you are actually, you know, having darshan. Just like in the Ramayana, there's a story of how the Vanaras are fighting a war with the Rakshasas. And at one point of time, Ram did a very, very, very powerful pastime where he manifested himself in everyone. So all the Rakshasas look like Ram. All the Vanaras look like Ram. So the Rakshasas were very confused because everyone they were seeing was Ram only. So look at this. Even the demons had an experience of Sarupya Mukti in one sense. You know, they actually experienced Ram in their lives so powerfully and so personally. But what were the demons doing? When they saw Ram, instead of falling at his feet, they started killing him. You know? So that's how so many Rakshasas got eliminated at one go. Because if our heart is not in the right consciousness, the right framework of the right mindset, in Krishna, we can see a demon. And if our heart is in the right consciousness, even within a demon, you can see Krishna. Like in Badrinath, there is this very famous demon whose name is Ghantakarna. He was a Rakshasa. He was a total demon. And he had a very strange habit. You know, his name was Ghantakarna because he hung two big bells on his ears. Massive bells. And anyone chanted the name of Krishna, Narayan, he would shake his head. So that, you know, the bell rings and he doesn't hear the name of the Lord. Imagine what kind of ideas people, you know, come up with, you know, for not hearing the holy names. So this guy, though he was such a demon and against Krishna totally, you know, he somehow was very fond of Lord Shiva. And he went to Lord Shiva and he told him that, so he prayed a lot. Shiva manifested in front of him. And Shiva asked him, what do you want? And Ghantakarna said, I want mukti. I want liberation. So Shiva said, I can't give you liberation. Only one person can give you liberation, that is Mukunda. Go to Lord Narayan. Ghantakarna said, all my life I have been shaking my head and I'm not hearing the holy name of Narayan. Why will he give me mukti now? You know? Shiva said, no, you don't know Narayan. His heart is merciful like a mother. You go and pray to him, surely he will help you. So he was really wanting to go and pray. And Lord Shiva told him, you don't even have to go, don't do tapasya to please Lord Narayan. Because that same Narayan is there in Dwarka. Just go and meet him there in Dwarka and ask him what you want. So Ghantakarna, all the way from, you know, the north, from the Himalayas, he went all the way to Dwarka to meet Krishna. And when he reached Dwarka, he went to the residence of Lord Krishna. And there he was told, Krishna is not in Dwarka. He went to Badrinath to offer prayers. So he said, why is he gone to Badrinath to offer prayers? And they told him, Lord Krishna doesn't have children for a long time. He is going to pray to Lord Shiva to have children. And this guy got really confused. Because, you know, Shiva is telling him to go to Krishna and Krishna is telling him to go to... So, this guy, he went all the way back to Badrinath. And he sat there and loudly, he didn't know where Krishna was, obviously. He started loudly chanting the name of Narayan. And he was chanting so loudly that Krishna was doing tapasya in some corner. His tapasya got disturbed. So the demon's chanting was so intensely loud. So he stopped his tapasya and he came to this fellow and he asked him, what do you want? Why are you shouting so much my holy name? And Ghantakarna expressed his desire. And Lord Krishna not only gave him liberation, but he also gave him a permanent post in Badrinath. That he will be like a watchman in Badrinath temple. And even today, there is a deity of Ghantakarna inside the temple. And he is known in all that area as Ghanta Baba or Ghantial, you know. And there are many temples of Ghantakarna around the north. So, here is a person who hated Krishna for whatever reason. But he had that one darshan of Krishna and he went through a transformation completely. And from someone who is using his, you know, ears, the strength of his body to not hear the holy names at all, his mouth became like a ganta, you know, chanting the holy names, basically. So, the idea of meeting Krishna and the idea of connecting with Krishna is so powerful. Practically in every holy place, you will find some story of someone connecting with Krishna and having experiencing Krishna in his own unique way. Like in the temple of Srinathji, there was one robber who wanted to steal from the Supreme Lord. And this robber, he came in the middle of the night to steal from the Lord. And this robber, he saw that the crown on Krishna's head was having some jewels. And he wanted to reach to the crown, but it was a little tall for him to reach. So this guy, he stood on the hand of Krishna to climb and reach the head of Krishna, you know. Imagine standing on the hand of the Lord. But the Lord is so merciful, he interpreted it differently. He thought, usually people offer some small thing to the Lord. He said, this guy offered himself only to me. So he accepted him. He accepted his whole existence as an offering. So the Lord is so merciful that even if you go to him with the wrong intention, but unconsciously you somehow do something that pleases him, he accepts you, you know. So in the Vishnu Sahasranam, there are two words, Nimisha and Animisha. The word Nimisha means the one who blinks his eyes. And the word Animisha means the one who never blinks his eyes. Now how can one person blink his eyes also and never blink his eyes also? Seems to be contradictory, isn't it? But this particular verse, two words, are describing two different moods of the Lord and two different forms of the Lord. The word Nimisha means the one who blinks his eyes. It refers to the form of the Lord that closes his eyes, Ranganath. And if you see, go to Srirangam, he is in a snooze mood, you know, closing his eyes. And the Animisha, the one who never blinks his eyes, it refers to the form of the Lord that keeps his eyes open, Jagannath. You will never see Jagannath having eyelids also. He doesn't blink only. He doesn't close his eyes also. So it is explained that the form of the Lord that closes his eyes is that form of the Lord that blinks when a devotee makes a mistake. So when a devotee does some mistake, Krishna for that moment closes his eyes. Doesn't notice it. And when a devotee is trying to do something good for him, Krishna is Jagannath, his eyes are so wide open, constantly noticing his devotees. So our fortune is not that we are great. Our fortune is that Krishna is merciful. So though we are not so great and our consciousness in having darshan is not that great, the mood with which we have our darshan is not that great, but because Krishna is so merciful, he takes it in the right spirit. The natural propensity of a living entity is to doubt. To doubt is something very natural to us. But the natural propensity of the Lord is to trust. Even if somebody has absolutely ditched him, still the Lord chooses to trust. And that is why, as we become more conscious of Krishna and as we become purer in our consciousness, our propensity to trust others' intentions is higher. And that is why you will find Jagai Madai, you know, though nobody trusted him, Nityanand Prabhu decided to trust him, trust the worst of the worst. Because Nityanand Prabhu looks at that potential in a living entity which has the ability to live up to the trust of the Lord. And most people in this world look up to that potential in a living entity that lets the Lord down. And therefore, when we look at the mood with which we are supposed to, connect with Krishna, it helps us develop the right propensity or the right consciousness. So the word Manushya comes from the word Manishi. What is the meaning of the word Manishi? It says the force of the intellect which drives the mind towards action is called discretion. And that is called Manishi. That means when a human being starts thinking and discriminating right from wrong, good from bad, that process of discrimination makes a person a Manishya. And that discrimination is so very important for a person to grow from manushya level to a higher level of consciousness. So, for a manushya to achieve higher level of consciousness, there is a process of sadhana that is recommended. So there are three types of sadhanas that are naturally recommended for a human being. According to propensity, different people take up different types of sadhana. So the first type of sadhana is by what is known as bibliography. That means those who are attracted towards words. There are many people in this world who are attracted towards words. So those who are attracted towards words, for them scriptures is their sadhana towards perfection. But some people are not attracted towards words. They are attracted towards sound, music, sound, you know. The moment they hear something, they get excited. So the first kind of category of people, they have to read something to get excited. The second category of people, they have to hear something to get excited. And that is what the whole process of Sankirtan is. So in this, actually, if you really look at it from a realistic point of view also, you know, most people today don't like to read. They like to hear lectures. Why? Because the propensity is moving from reading towards hearing. And that's actually the trend in the literary world also. So many people are moving from books to audiobooks because it's much easier to handle. You know. And there's a third category of people who may not like to read, who may not like to hear also, but they like to see. And that's what the whole process of darshan is. So that's why there are so many holy places. So you wonder why there are so many holy places. One holy place is good enough. Technically, if you see, you don't have to go anywhere else. Radha Gopinath is good enough. All the holy places are manifested here in the holy form of Radha Gopinath. But why do we want to go here and there and here and there? Simply because our eyes have a desire to see variety. Our eyes have a desire to see so many forms of the Lord. And that is a process of sadhana. That is a process of perfecting your life. So, when we have access to these three things, books, the process of hearing, and the process of darshan, these three are connected by one common factor. And what is that common factor that connects these three? All these three are revealed to us through our guru, through our spiritual master. They cannot be revealed to us on our own merits, on our own strength, basically. So the spiritual master, he is the one who knows expertly how to feed us cooked stuff, you know. So what we get from the Vedas and from the scriptures is very uncooked stuff. But the same scriptures, when it is made palatable and fed, it becomes very tasty and very easy to digest. And therefore, when we have darshan, when we have when we read the scriptures, and when we hear the holy names, through the mouth of the spiritual master, through the medium of the spiritual master, it becomes digestible. It becomes something that we can actually understand and digest. And therefore, the spiritual master transfers knowledge to a disciple through four ways. So the first way the spiritual master transfers knowledge is known as sparsha diksha. Sparsha diksha means just by the spiritual master touching a disciple, just that touch is actually a way of knowledge transfer. So those who are very, very fortunate to experience the touch of the spiritual master, they actually experience a very, very powerful divine way of connection. The second way in which a spiritual master transfers is known as smarana diksha. That means through thought the spiritual master can transfer. I mean, there are so many amazing stories of how a teacher can understand what your thinking is, can understand exactly how you perceive knowledge and perceive information. Let me tell you all a story, and this story happened just 1 month back, and it's an when I heard that whole thing, I couldn't believe it. Let me share this. A few days back, I got a very frantic call from one family in Goa, and the mother was passing away. The doctors had told them she has maybe 1-2 hours left to die. Advanced stage of cancer, she And they asked me, can, you know, Radhanath Maharaj give them initiation? So I had no idea whether, you know, Maharaj has the ability and time to give this kind of. So I contacted his servants and they told me, try connecting with him directly. Obviously, this is a call that nobody wants to take, isn't it? So I wrote a message to Maharaj straight away, you know, with a photograph of that Mataji and told him that just, you know, 1 or 2 hours are left. Within 5 minutes after I send the message, Maharaj calls me and tells me, tell me what should I do. So now I was like, I didn't expect it so fast. I said, Maharaj, if you want, I can take them on a conference and you can speak to the family. So Maharaj said, take them on a conference. So I took them on a conference. That old lady, she was hardly conscious, but a young daughter was there very much. So Maharaj, so we were on a conference call, audio conference call. And Maharaj, he chanted mantras. He very intensely prayed for the family, prayed for that lady. And after, he gave her initiation. And he gave her the name Lalita Devi Dasi. And after giving initiation also, he said, I would like to chant for you. And he did 5 to 7 minutes of kirtan, you know, on the phone. And then, you know, we thanked him, you know, the family was very grateful. We kept the phone down, all that got over. Within about 1.5 hours after Maharaj's call, this lady left her body. She left this world. But I came to know something after that. Unbelievable. So one of our brahmacharis from Goa, my brother Achyut Gopal Prabhu, he had gone to Vrindavan just a week or two before that, before this incident. And he was, you know, traveling around doing parikrama. And he happened to visit Govardhan. And in Govardhan, he went to Lalita Kund. And in Lalita Kund, some pujari there gave him a Mahaprasad of Lalita Devi. And he came back with that Mahaprasad of Lalita Devi and gave it to this family. And every day from that day, for 2 weeks, they have been taking small little pieces of Lalita Kund Prasad and mixing it in water and feeding this Mataji for about 2 weeks. And Maharaj had no idea about all this and he gives her the name Lalita Devi Dasi. Now imagine what kind of connection this is, where someone who has no idea also. And it's not that I told this story to Maharaj before, you know. I myself didn't know this story. I came to the story after this lady left to the spiritual world, literally. So I was thinking about this point, what is known as Smarana Diksha. What is the meaning of Smarana Diksha? Smarana Diksha means when the spiritual master is meditating, doing Smaranam, meditating on the Lord, meditating on so many people who are dependent on him. There is a form of initiation. There is a form of connection that happens. We may not understand it. Just like the scriptures give the example of the turtle that lays its egg somewhere else and goes and meditates somewhere else, right? The turtle is somewhere else, but it is meditating on its egg some in another part of the world. And by the process of Smaranam, it is actually taking care of its children. And that's the whole mood in which a spiritual master takes responsibilities for the living entity. Now, apparently we might say that where does a spiritual master have time nowadays? But Smaranam is a very powerful medium of connection. And it's such a subtle medium of connection, we don't even know how it happens. But in such occasions, you realize there is something that we can't perceive. There is something that we can't understand. There is something that we can't conceive. And therefore that word achintya keeps coming again and again into our life. You know? Once in a while, we come across this word achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. There are some truths in life that we will never know. We will never understand. We will never be able to conceive. And those truths are those truths that actually keep faith alive. Those truths are those truths that really keep the process of spiritual life so vibrant and so powerful. Then there is Nayana Diksha. So we spoke about Sparsha Diksha, the touch of the spiritual master. Then I'm sure many of you all would have heard of the story of Premnidhi Prabhu's father. I don't know how many of you all know this story. It's just fascinating. Premnidhi Prabhu, one of our brahmacharis, Premnidhi Prabhu, he's a very, very senior devotee. He's my source of inspiration. And, you know, his father, though Premnidhi Prabhu is such a exalted preacher and such a wonderful devotee. His father never really got connected to Krishna consciousness. But one day, he happened to just be standing on the gate over there, you know, just on the gate outside. And he was waiting for his son probably for something, you know. And Maharaj just happened to pass by and he saw him. And somebody told him, this is Premnidhi Prabhu's father. Maharaj walked up to him and embraced him. And that day, he began to chant one round. After so many years of preaching, he never managed to chant. But one embrace of Maharaj, he began to chant that day. And now he's chanting 16 rounds. Basically, he got 16 embraces over a period of few years. So every time he got embraced, he chanted one more round, basically. So we spoke about Sparsha Diksha, then we spoke about Smarana Diksha. Then third is Nayana Diksha. Nayana Diksha means vision of the spiritual master. What is the meaning of vision? Vision doesn't mean just the spiritual master looking at you. Of course, the glance of the spiritual master is powerful. How many stories of Prabhupada disciples who just had no association of Prabhupada, but Prabhupada looked at them once. That's all. Prabhupada looked at them, they felt, this person is the one I want to surrender my life to. And Prabhupada had a penetrating vision. You look at people, people would actually feel that he's looking straight into our hearts. So many stories like that. Nayana Diksha also means not just about spiritual master looking at you, it also means the spiritual master giving you the vision and look of looking at the world. So usually before we connect with a spiritual process and with a spiritual master, the way we perceive the world is very different from how we start perceiving the world after the guru gives us Nayana Diksha. And this probably is one of the most powerful things a spiritual master can give us. The gift of perception. We may not be able to change problems in this world. We may not be able to change situations in this world. We may not be able to change, the situation in which we are, or the context in which we are living our lives. But what we can change is the perception with which we look at the problems. So when we come to a bona fide spiritual master, the gift, the real gift the spiritual master gives is a gift of vision. So we all have sight, but what we miss is vision. So when we come to a path of spirituality, the spiritual master actually helps us perceive things differently. And that is what the most powerful contribution of a guru is. Like we studied in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Muchukunda, when Muchukunda burns Kalayavan, you know, this demon who comes running into the cave. Muchukunda has a boon that he can sleep forever, and anyone who wakes him up, he'll burn him down. So typically, our eyesight is very much like Muchukunda. So we look at everything and everyone as potential threat to us. And we want to burn down people, we want to, finish off our relationship with people. So we are always in this mood of Muchukunda. My comfort should not get disturbed. Anyone disturbing my comfort, I'll burn him down. But after Muchukunda burnt Kalayavan down, and then he had vision of Krishna, he saw Krishna, instantly, the first thing that Muchukunda thought in his consciousness, he felt guilty. Why did I burn this guy down? And especially when he saw the Lord over there, he felt even more guilty because he realized, I didn't act divine. In the 15 days of Chardham, I saw a lot of high-heated arguments and very intense heartburns and, very intense, frustration levels. And I remember the story of Muchukunda so many times. I tell you, every time somebody behaves badly, you know what is the next thing that happens? Instantly, the next thing that happens is guilt. Especially if you are spiritually inclined. If you're not spiritually inclined, this won't happen. When you get angry, if you look at a materialist, when they get angry, after that they don't feel bad. They feel proud. They feel proud of themselves. They feel proud of their anger. They feel proud of, You know, the fact that we won an argument, you know, we won a battle, you know. But when a spiritualist gets angry or exhibits any kind of wrong consciousness or wrong behavior, the next thing that happens to a spiritualist, he feels bad. He feels guilty. You know why? Because exactly what happens in Muchukunda happens to us. We burn Kalyavan down. Whoever is Kalyavan representing in our lives. After we burn Kalyavan, we see Krishna behind him. And we suddenly start realizing, oh my God, Krishna hiding and looking at my behavior. And this is exactly what happens to all of us in our lives. The greatest gift of the spiritual master is the ability to have the right vision and tolerate provoking situations. Of course, all of us are very, very far away from it. Very, very far away from it. I personally realize that I have miles to go in that journey. But at the same time, at least we are going in that direction. We are going in the direction that we start feeling bad, at least that I did something wrong. You know, this is actually a great gift of the spiritual master. And this is what is called perception, this is called vision. And the fourth way in which a spiritual master gives us process of initiation, you can say, is called as Kripa Diksha, the mercy of the spiritual master. The heart of a guru is so great and so beautiful and so wonderful that it is always yearning to shower mercy on others. The heart of the spiritual master is always yearning to give kripa to others, no matter what their qualification or disqualification is. And this is the greatest hope for a devotee. No matter the world rejects us, no matter everyone rejects us, there are two people who will never reject us: the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. And these two people being there in our lives and waiting and wanting to shower mercy on us is the greatest hope for a living entity. And therefore, when we look at the Dwaraka Vasis, their experiencing Krishna is not because they are residents of Dwaraka only, but because each and every one of them have got this whole process of experiencing Krishna completely, because they all have gone through this process of mercy from the spiritual master. Our connection with Krishna is through the medium of the guru. There is no point in time, you know, anybody can say that we don't need a guru in our life. We need the guru. And especially for our vision to be beautiful and for our perceptions of Krishna to be beautiful, the medium of the spiritual master is so very important. So while we are meditating on this beautiful pastime of Krishna entering Dwaraka and the beautiful way in which the Dwaraka Vasis are actually perceiving Krishna, let us also meditate on this one fact, that our ability to perceive Krishna in the right spirit comes because we have got the mercy of the spiritual master. And because that mercy of the spiritual master is so much available to us in our lives, our vision, perception, mood, consciousness, and the ability to have the right kind of darshan changes. So every time we have darshan of the Lord, it is our duty and it is actually our prerogative that we should spend a moment expressing a gratitude to the one who made us qualified to have that kind of darshan. Wherever we go, whichever place in the world we go, we will have to always keep that in our mind, you know, the back of our mind, that this darshan that I am having, I mean, you could have been like hundreds of the tourists that come, have that 1 second of darshan, don't even know what they had done in that 1 second, and they run back, you know. But that 1 second, what is the consciousness with which we are standing there and we are expressing our prayers to the Lord? That consciousness, in spite of all the chaos around, that 1 second, that consciousness that we are able to hold on to is the greatest gift of the spiritual master to us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.